Coney Island in New York is known for its amusement parks, its fun, its tourism, its beach, I guess. You know what it's also known for? It's monsters.
Hi, welcome to the Weird World Podcast. My name's Carrie.
I'm Dean. I've known Carrie. I know.
I know. I know you too.
Okay.
Well, Dean.
Yes, Carrie.
Monsters.
Coney Island
at
monsters.
Coney Island. Have you ever been to Coney Island?
I've never been to Coney Island.
I have not either.
No. Coney Island actually is really a neighborhood now. It used to be an island. You know where Long Island is? Long Island is, you know, people forget that. People think of Long Island, they think like, you know, those big houses on the north side and stuff like that. And they forget that Brooklyn is on Long Island. The dense, you know, city
it is?
Areas. Yeah, Brooklyn is basically the western, very, very end of Long Island. It's immediately south of Manhattan Island and right across from New Jersey.
Okay, so you get to Brooklyn via the Brooklyn Bridge.
You can.
What is Staten Island?
That's another island. It's further down.
Okay.
I think it's closer to New Jersey.
And you have to take a ferry to get to that one.
Yeah. I don't think there's no bridge. It's too far off the
sea.
But
could you imagine living?
No.
To take a
no. Although, if you lived in Staten Island, you could hang out with the vampires in one of my favorite TV shows, as it is also Aaron's. It's okay. Now I have to go fucking look it up, and now I'm going to come back and act like I knew it the whole time.
TV show?
Oh my God, Carrie.
In Staten Island?
As you know, that TV show is called What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, that's
on Staten Island?
Uh-huh.
Coney Island, back to Coney Island now, is like just like this little strip along the far southwestern edge of Brooklyn. And it used to be, as I mentioned a second ago, it used to be an island, but they did landfills. Like they had the Barry Islands on the edge, the western edge of Long Island, but they filled it in over time. And now those Barry Islands are just attached and they're part of Long Island in kind of a man-made way.
Okay.
And that's what Coney Island is right. It looks on to the Atlantic. So think of the southwestern tip of Long Island. That's Coney Island. No longer island, but it still retains the name. It's known for it's famous actually for its amusement parks. It started in like the 1850s and rides and
50s. I thought it was even earlier than that.
The 1850s.
Oh, okay.
Now by the 1950s, it was dying. It was huge in the second half of the 18th century and maybe the first, you know, decades of the 20th century. But after World War II, it kind of sort of got passed by. It got run down. It's recently been actually redeveloped and is a little bit more popular again as a tourist destination. You know, I mean, 30,000 people live there. And it's just a little, you know, dense enclave of Brooklyn. Well, that's your history lesson for Coney Island.
Thanks.
Now into the aforementioned worst word ever.
Okay.
Monsters of Coney Island. This first one actually created quite the buzz in 2020 when a short video of it appeared on TikTok by a user named Natalie Vorobach. In this video, this fisherman on Coney Island, I think on like the pier, brings up this creature. Has this kind of bulbous head. A lot of descriptions say it had like these slits or gill-like eyes. I don't really see that. You do see these kind of two black slits, and it has this kind of tail-like, it's almost like a big head with a long tail. I'll show you a picture, and we'll put pictures of still pictures from the TikTok on our websites. And then it has these two appendages that look kind of like arms. I'm showing Carrie a picture of it now. There's a close-up of the creature. It's kind of a grayish color, I guess, kind of a tannish grayish color, maybe a little lighter on the underside, if indeed that is the underside, but it looks truly unrecognizable.
Yeah.
It's a weird looking thing. It looks like it's sort of, you know, again, if the head wasn't so thick and large, you would think it's kind of eel-like.
Is it all intact?
It's intact, yeah.
Okay. Huh.
He pulled it up on a fishing line, and in the video, the fisherman cries out, he pulls it up, and he says, "What the hell is that, Mom?" He's with his mom, apparently. I don't know how old he is, but Mom, do you see this? He yells. His mom says, "Holy shit, what the hell is that?" And he's just completely flabbergasted. He just goes, "What is happening?" So let's play a little slice of that right now.
"What the hell? What is that, Mom?
What?
Mom, you see this? this?
No. Holy shit! What the hell is that?
What is happening? You guys see this?
So that's the somewhat hysterical reaction to a fairly small creature, but you have to admit, this thing looks extraordinarily strange. It doesn't look like any animal that you know of. People on TikTok started talking about, oh, look, it looks like Dart from Stranger Things on Netflix, because that Demogorgon was very popular and was Netflix was in the middle of its season at the time, and so people started comparing it to some kind of creature from Stranger Things, which, you know what? It's not bad. I see it. It got 1.4 million likes on TikTok, and Carrie still looks utterly flabbergasted herself as she stares at
her computer
screen. It's living. It's like I said, it's caught. It's kind of writhing around. It appears to be caught in a fishing line.
And it rolled over.
It rolls over. And you can see those appendages, those arm-like appendages in addition to the tail. So it's sort of like three things. One looks sort of like a tail. Two look, I don't know, they're stiff, aren't they? And they're shorter than the tail. Well, experts started looking at it, and they said fairly quickly, no, it's probably not a Demogorgon, in all likelihood. A guy named Marcus Williams from the Ocean Conservation Trust said, hey, guess what that is? That's a skate. Very, very likely it's a clear-nose skate, which does live in the North Atlantic of that area. And I'm going to show you a picture of that skate. Now, a skate, is, of course, closely related to the rays.
Okay.
And here is a picture of a clear-nose skate. Now, you see the face, same coloration. The whole body is the same coloration. What looks so different to you is the wings.
Yeah.
The normal wings of a skate.
And skates are flat, right?
Skates are very flat.
But this was not flat.
Well, not completely flat. They're flat-ish when their wings are fully out. You think if you look at them from profile, yeah, they appear more or less flat, but it's not like they're, you know, two-dimensional. They have definition. They have thickness to them. Now, wrap those wings in a tight cylinder around its body because of fishing line, and do you see what you're seeing?
Oh,
the tail comes out, and those two appendages, you don't see them in this. Well, you kind of see them in that picture. Those are proof that it is a male skate, because those are the appendages. Those are called the claspers, and that's what the male skate uses to hold the female skate still when they're, you know, doing nasty skate stuff. So that's what the three appendages. So one is the tail, like it looks like. The other two are the claspers. And the weird look is because the familiar wings of the skate are wrapped up. So it does get a little thicker because that's the wings now are sort of balled up and wrapped up around its body, held together by the fishing line. You can see the fishing line around it, right?
Yeah. Looked again, and I buy it.
They're fairly small. And when it's just, so you can't blame dude in Coney Island who yells for his mom, Mom! You seeing this? Because it looks incredibly unusual. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, there's no sort of follow up. What happened to the skate? In fact, one user said, "Put it back in the ocean."
Yeah.
You know, clip that line and put it back. If they had clipped the line, they would have seen immediately that was a skate. So they did one of two things: they kicked it back in the ocean with the a line attached, or they didn't. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Or more likely, they cut the line, realized it was a skate, and cut off the video to put it onto YouTube to amaze and confuse people.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm going to guess that is B is the likely answer. So this kind of comes down to, just because you don't know what it is doesn't mean other people don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Let's remember that when we talk about the unknown, you know, a lot of people look at something, the same thing with lights in the sky and things like that. Just because you don't know what Venus looks like doesn't mean astronomers don't know what Venus looks like at certain times, things like that. So just try to keep that in mind when you see something that's amazing. I would kill to see something, that animal that didn't exist, or a UFO.
Really?
What? Oh, yeah. I would kill you.
Who would you kill?
Everybody. Anybody.
You would kill me.
I'm going to say that in public right now.
Wow.
If I got a chance to shake a Sasquatch's hand, for sure I would feed my wife to him, is what I'm saying. Just like that guy in Oklahoma.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Of course I wouldn't. Carrie looks actually a little shook.
I am. Jeez.
I thought it was obvious I was joking. But no. Okay, I wouldn't literally kill. I might maim someone I didn't like. possibly to see something like this. So yes, I totally get it. You pull something this from the line, it's unrecognizable. You get a little excited, but unfortunately, it's a skate, not a creature slithered up, you know, new to science. That'd be great though, if it was.
Yeah.
But that's our first ever Coney Island monsters. Unfortunately, this was not inexplicable. The next two, though, do seem a little more inexplicable. And that's our first one. We'll call these, let's think of this, that we have creatures from the land, sea, and sky. That one was from the sea, came out of the water. The next one is above the sky of Coney Island. Yes. Our last one will be kind of on the land and the sea, so I'm cheating a little bit, but you'll see. So our next one is happened in 1880. Now, Coney Island was already a very popular tourist destination. Its beaches were very, very popular. People would go out and sunbathe on there. Not a lot of people swam. Swum? I hate that. I can't conjugate that verb.
Swim, swam, swam.
Swim, swam, swam. So a lot of people, would, you know, as you know, bathing in the ocean didn't become more popular until later in the 1900s, really. I mean, you know, people, it wasn't unheard of, but for the most part, they just dipped their toes in the water.
Because they had to remain essentially fully clothed.
They more or less did, yes.
And it's hard to navigate waves and currents when you're weighed down by
those big,
by
bloomy,
wet wool.
Yeah, yeah, not a good thing to have in the water. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the article. It's covered in the New York Times of September 12th, 1880. I'm going to read you more or less. I'm not going to just read the article. But I'm going to talk through the article, quoting parts of it. And then what I'm going to do is kind of go through it sort of quasi point by point, and let's try to figure out what went on in the skies above Coney Island back in 1880. So the headline of the article was An Aerial Mystery. Mm-hmm. No byline. Apparently they didn't give bylines back then. But the writer says, one day last week, a marvelous apparition was seen near Coney Island, like apparently just off the water, above the water. It was said to be at least 1,000 feet up in the air. It was apparently flying away from Coney Island toward the coast of New Jersey, so flying to the west. And on looking up, people were able to see that it was a man, but he had like bat-like wings and, quote, improved frog's legs, end quote.
What does improved mean?
No one knows. But he had improved frog legs and, quote, the face of the man could be distinctly seen and it wore a cruel and determined expression. End quote.
Well, yeah, because it was flying.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of concentration, probably.
Yeah, he looked mean, though, I think, was the idea. He looked a little angry, a little mean, something like that. The movements of this creature up in the sky, this man-like, bat-winged, frog-legged creature up in the sky, the movements closely resembled a frog. Sort of, think of a frog swimming, but flying. Its hind legs doing that frog-like kick motion that you might some people swim with, or
but why
that frog? Good question. And it's doing the flying motions with its front legs just like that, and also apparently beating its wings as well. And the writer says, "quote Of course, no respectable frog has ever been known to conduct himself in precisely that way." End quote. But the bat wings were also flapping as well, and so it's almost like swim flying across the sky.
Yeah.
And apparently at some point, when a locomotive went by, whistled, the monster waved his wings almost as if in answer, which seems a little strange.
Course.
Wouldn't he be waving the wings the whole time if it's flying? I think that would help, not just frog kicking.
Yeah.
It's going to help you fly.
I have a little aside.
What's your aside?
You say swim mm-hmm. flying, or what do you call it?
Swim flying? I don't know.
Remember how I talked about I had this super realistic dream where I can fly.
Yeah. Were you swim flying?
Yeah.
Really? So you're like swimming like normal overhand?
No, but you know, like if you're down at the bottom of a pool or something and you're coming up, how you know, like this. Like,
oh, yeah.
So Carrie's sides of you.
Pushing her arms at her sides down.
Yes. And it feels
palms
like
out, down.
When I was actually flying.
Uh-huh, because you were.
Because I was. It felt like there was the resistance like you're underwater.
Okay.
But it's actually just.
Okay.
So I think my superpower is like maybe manipulating the
air.
The
maybe
air
gravity?
Or something.
Maybe gravity. Maybe you can,
I don't know.
Your superpower.
It was a little anti-gravity-ish
okay.
too.
Okay. Let's go with that, Carrie. But Gravity Girl could be your name, your superhero name.
But when you said swim flying, it really, that's really what it was like.
Okay. Well, this is different.
Yeah.
This is horizontal and exactly like a frog.
But I had to get up in the air.
That's true.
First. That's how I got up in the air.
Did you then go horizontal and continue to fly like Superman?
Yeah.
A Superwoman? Or
no,
I
had to use my arms.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
But did you go horizontal?
But it was.
Were you now using your
arms?
Probably,
yeah.
Okay. Probably.
Because then it, well, you know, this was cool. You know, a little while ago that I had this start.
Well, I think you can.
So realistic.
Oh, it's for sure. It happened.
And
you were swimming in your, you were flying in your sleep, and you're back to your bed before you
astral projecting
woke up. No, I think you were literally flying. That's my, but somebody was here, just like the Coney Island monster, our flying monster.
It was very cool.
Well, back to our Coney Island monster. He was deep black in color, and according to the writer, he was seen by many reputable persons, and they all agree that's a guy up there flying. Okay. About a month ago.
Did they name these reputable persons?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
About a month ago, an object of precisely the same nature was seen in the air over St. Louis by a number of citizens that happened to be sober and are believed to be trustworthy, end quote. A little later, some people in Kentucky saw this same creature. So he flew from Coney Island, then next scene in St. Louis, and then next scene in Kentucky.
Yeah.
No time was this creature ever seen to alight, that is, land on the ground.
Yeah.
And no one has ever seen the creature or the man, the flying, the aeronaut, lower than about 1,000 feet. So he seems to stay up in the safety zone. What this writer kind of surmises is that, okay, well, this is an aeronaut. They had, you know, someone who's learning to fly by making, quote, practicable wings, end quote, that allowed a human being to fly. Quote, someone has solved the problem of aerial navigation by inventing wings with which a man can sustain himself in the air and direct his flight to any desired point. They guess that he would, like, go fly to Europe or something like that. But, and then he's thinking, you know what? That doesn't make sense, though. Because if this was really an aeronaut, someone who advertised that they could fly, remember, ballooning was already a thing at this time.
Yeah.
He said that, no, that doesn't make any sense because that person would have for sure scammed people out of their money. For sure. Literally, he says that person would have prepared to exhibit it for a few weeks to everyone who would pay 50 cents to see it.
Yeah.
And then they'd take up a subscription to pay the expenses of his proposed voyage somewhere, like to Europe. They'd publish a book about it. Then he would have suddenly disappeared, taking his wings with him or accidentally burning them. And after the first outburst of indignation on the part of the swindled public would have been totally forgotten, end quote. A little cynical.
Yeah.
A little bit, but almost certainly
true.
So the author writes, why has not the inventor patented his invention and had himself duly written up by the press? Well, guess what? He's got an answer. This isn't just some aeronaut for science. It's a goddamn criminal. It's an air criminal. He says, the reason is obvious. The flying man is engaged in some undertaking which he cannot safely proclaim. In other words, he is an aerial criminal, a fact which explains the cruelty and determination visible on his countenance. End quote.
Yes.
So, boom. Right to aerial criminal.
But what's the crime?
He's not sure. He says, yeah, I'll admit it'd be impossible in his flying costume to perpetrate burglary or highway robbery or to pick pockets. Because he's so noticeable. He's got bat wings and improved frog legs.
Not a lot of pockets at 1,000 feet in the air.
No. I know. That's the weirdest one. And pick pockets. Really, dude? Quote, yet the flying villain must have an object, and we have a right to assume that only a peculiarly nefarious object could induce a man to fly to New Jersey or St. Louis in hot weather and without an umbrella or mosquito net. It has not escaped notice that of late, Mr. Talmadge, we'll get into that in a second, has been wandering in the West in search of entertaining varieties of crime wherewith to embellish his sermon. I'll tell you who he is in a second.
Okay.
It is also known that he, Talmadge, returned to the city just before the flying man of Coney Island was seen. End quote. He says, basically, this guy, if there's anybody who can do it, is Talmadge, because his muscles, his leg muscles are so amazing. He could keep in flight by kicking like a frog, and also the wings with his very strong arms. He figures that Mr. Talmadge has equipped himself with wings to study interesting types of immorality from the lofty height of 1,000 feet. He has flown over St. Louis and Kentucky, precisely the places which might be expected to yield a rich reward to an investigator of crime. Shots fired at Kentucky.
The entire state of Kentucky.
And the whole city of St. Louis. Wow. If you want to go see crime, that's where you go. According to the guy from New York.
Not Chicago or New York.
I mean,
but
good God. Back to the quote. He is now flying to and fro over Coney Island preparatory to preaching a scathing sermon on the wickedness and indecencies of our bathing resorts. And then he ends his article by saying, hey, no one shoot him down. It is earnestly to be hoped that no one with mistaken zeal for field sports will attempt to shoot the preacher on the wing with a shotgun. Because you know what? A shotgun's not even going to work at 1,000 feet.
Gosh, if this wasn't the New York Times, I would think it was a joke. Is this The Onion?
let's go back to that. So first of all, yeah, you can kind of, let's poke some holes. So let's go back all the way to the beginning. On the last week, when he starts out, one day last week, a marvelous apparition was seen near Coney Island. That's very oddly imprecise. In journalism, you used to say, okay, what day and the date.
Yes.
And 1,000 feet, if we know one thing from listening to this show, is that human beings cannot possibly judge height or distance with any accuracy whatsoever.
But they think they can.
I know they think they
so
can.
So they'll make
but,
some up.
Okay, but what if you're right? You know something you can't do at 1,000 feet? Recognize someone's face, let alone the severe, angry look on it. And improved frog legs? Did he think anyone was going to know what that meant? That doesn't mean anything. What does that mean?
Yeah,
I have no idea. I mean, he's swimming like a frog. The creature is swimming like a frog and apparently only occasionally flapping its wings. How is that possibly going to create flight? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. No one's ever flown like that.
He's a journalist, Dean, not an aeronautics engineer.
The part about no respectable frog has ever been known to conduct himself that way. A little judgy, unnamed writer. And then he talks about all the witnesses, right? And not a single witness is named.
Yeah.
Remember, this is at a time when reporters not just named them, but gave your
goddamn address.
Yes. John Johnson, the witness to a mob hit, who lives at 4535 3rd Street, told us. So, I mean, that defies belief as well. There's no corroboration for any of the additional sightings in Kentucky or St. Louis, those absolute crime capitals of the world. And then the whole thing about the scammy aeronaut, you know what? That actually rings kind of true. That's probably very much how someone, especially in the late 19th century, it was just such a sleazy, corrupt, gilded age. It was an incredibly corrupt time in American history.
Yeah.
And people were like that. There were scams everywhere. Everybody's kind of like today, where everybody is becoming a multi-level marketer, which are 100% scams, as we know. It's a little bit like that. Everybody on TikTok is trying to scam you. Everybody on social media. So I shouldn't say everybody.
Yeah,
that's not
you
true.
Shouldn't say
so many of them are trying to scam you, though.
A lot
so.
Of them are just trying to sell you a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of them are scammers. And in many ways, I mean, I really do liken this period in history. It's in some degree to the second half of the 19th century in that way.
Yeah.
And then finally, names who it is.
Yeah.
Is this Reverend Talmage. So you don't know who Reverend Talmage is. Of course you do. Reverend Talmage apparently at the time was this pretty well-known preacher. He had kind of a mega church in Brooklyn and was extremely popular. And he, you know, he's actually was an abolitionist. Although this is after slavery, but he was like, I think his father was something like that. I can't remember. He was a preacher who, you know, preached about the horrors of crime and things and malfeasance and things like that. But he was just physical. He was an acrobat, and he would do physical, almost stunt-like things while he was preaching, and he'd leap around the stage and things like that. He was this extraordinary. He was very athletic and very fit, and he had this style, this very physical style of preaching, and he was known for that, which is weird, huh?
Yeah.
He was called the, quote, gymnastic preacher, or a, quote, acrobatic preacher. In 1879, the New York Times wrote an article that said, he took the belt for muscular and gymnastic preaching, not 100% sure what that means, and, quote, no tightrope performer has ever presented such a dazzling display of arms and legs, end quote. He actually talked about, and he called something called Christian gymnastics. He preached physical fitness and athletics and sports and things like that. So
interesting.
He was also involved, though, in some kind of a big scandal. And I guess the press, like a church scandal with his church, something about some malfeasance there, money wise. And I guess the journalist, like New York City journalist, didn't much care for him. So some people think this was just a way to just ridicule, to make fun of Talmadge without getting sued and without writing a hard-hitting piece that they didn't have complete proof for about his scandalous nature, or just that they didn't like him. A person who looked into this found a story about Talmadge, about how the press felt about Talmadge. It was an 1878 article, also in the New York Times, that said, quote, "Certain irreverent journalists, envious of the transcendent ability of his arms and legs, have repeatedly written of him in a strain that there is too much reason to believe was intended to bring him into ridicule," end quote. That's a terrible 19th century way of writing that journalists didn't like him and wanted to make fun of him.
Yeah.
So that's probably what was going on here. What this is then is, sadly, instead of a cryptid, of a human-like creature with frog's legs, improved frog's legs, and bat-like wings, are just as amazing an aeronaut who invented the way of heavier-than-air flight, which, by the way, no one has ever done since, powered by a human.
Except for me.
And then took the secret to his grave. Here, you weren't using wings or frog kicks. You were using your ability manipulate gravity or air. We're not sure.
I'm just magic.
So that's our second Coney Island monster. Now we go to our third and final Coney Island monster, who we take again. We go from first the sea to the air and now to the land, with a little nod back to the sea again. I wanted to cover all three things, but this one's close, but not exactly right. This one is a story of the Coney Island Merman. Intriguing, isn't it? Took place in November, December of 1885. It was reported. The source I have reports it from an article called Broadbrim's New York Letter, and that was printed in the Carbon Advocate of Lehigh Town, Pennsylvania, on December 12th, 1885.
I'm confused.
That's the source.
I don't know.
That's where it was. That's where the story was conveyed to the public.
Okay.
Okay. Something called Broadbrim's New York Letter, printed in a newspaper in Pennsylvania. I guess they probably, maybe they had a person who reported things going on in New York.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going on. And sent it out, those stories out to, because New York was this bustling metropolis.
The center of the universe.
Lehigh sought to have interesting stories come from New York because Lehigh didn't have any interesting things going on in Lehigh Town. I'm guessing that's now Lehigh, because they got rid of the word town, I think, in Pennsylvania. A fine, fine community with a good college.
Yeah, that's probably how I've heard of it, right? It's a college, yeah.
It's a good school. So, I guess in this case, the sister city of Lehigh was Brooklyn.
Oh,
Brooklyn, remember, at this time was its own city. They didn't combine into the five boroughs, I don't think, until the early 1900s, technically, become the mega city, New York City. Brooklyn, yeah. I think when they merged, Brooklyn was the fourth biggest city in the country.
They really should be separate cities.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Well, they all merged. They all do kind of mesh together. Although Manhattan, you can see, is an island. You know, let's break up New York, Carrie.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's make that our cause. Yeah. Hey, New York, knock it off. Break up.
We should break up Los Angeles, too.
Oh, I agree.
It's sprawling.
It's too big.
And I know it's not all the city of Los Angeles.
Okay, agreed. Our goal is to break up Los Angeles, the two largest cities in the country. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, they need to be broken up.
Actually, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So they report that the sister city, Brooklyn, quote, is greatly exercised about a wild man of the sea, which, if the story is to be believed, would show that the merman of the sea are not all dead, end quote.
Oh, because...
Which presupposes that we all agree there were mermen. We know that. That's a given.
Yeah.
We thought they were extinct. Apparently not. You know where they are? They're in Coney Island.
Sure.
For 10 days past, a man has been seen on Coney Island Beach disporting himself in the briny waves. I love the way they wrote back then.
Disporting. Did you look it up? What does it mean?
Disporting means like frolicking, walking around, doing stuff. You know, just walking around.
Existing.
Yeah, pretty much. The briny wave. So I guess he's like along the water's edge. You know, but he's on the water. And he's walking around, right?
Uh-huh.
The hair on his head reaches to his waist. So he's a hippie.
Ooh.
Some long-ass hair, isn't it? Here's what I love. This is weird. And the yellow hair on his body is as long as a horse's mane. So he has extremely long blonde body hair and very long hair. They don't say what color the head hair is. I don't know, but it's down to his waist. So this creature is MF and hairy. He's hairy all over.
That's bizarre.
It doesn't sound very mermanish.
Not at all.
It does sound
a human pony.
Aquamanish. If Aquaman had a blonde hair, like in some versions he does, he wasn't always Jason Momoa. He used to be this blonde white dude. His name was Arthur.
But he didn't have hair
on
his
body. No, he did not have long blonde hair, but he still seems a little Aquaman-y. Maybe that was like his suit back in the 1880s. He had a different kind of suit and it looked like hair, but it wasn't. It helped him swim. It was like filament. Go with me.
Did Aquaman have legs?
Yes. Aquaman walked around.
Okay.
But he was in the water. He swam. I'm gonna merge swam and swam because I still can't conjugate the verb.
Third verb needs a helper verb. Swim, swam, swam.
Yeah.
Swam.
So when he was in the water, he swam with his legs.
Yes. Good. He had swum.
Yeah, oh sure.
From Coney Island to blobbity blah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Worley.
You're welcome.
I shouldn't say your last name. Should I say that? Thank you, Miss Carrie. That's what your kids would call you if you were a teacher. Call you Miss Carrie. They wouldn't use your last name because it's weird and hard to spell.
That's
but
for
they
sure.
say Miss Carrie, which is cute. So I'm going to Aquaman so far. Aquaman with either a hairy, like just the body hair got out of control, or he needed a waxing, a severe waxing, a very painful waxing, but he needed it. Or he had some kind of a filament suit on or something like that. A ghillie suit, perhaps.
Maybe it was like a cape and
you know what?
They thought it was hair.
Yep. As long as a horse's mane. I love that. Many people have seen him at night walking along the sand, but as soon as he was approached, he dashed into the breakers, and no one has seen him come out. So basically, he's walking around, he's on the water, somebody sees him and says, hey, who's that? And he just, boom, flees
Very
into the
shy.
Water,
yeah,
and he's never seen again. So he doesn't come out of the water. I guess that's where they get the idea of him being a merman. And this report goes on to say that, quote, towards night, men go armed with hatchets and clubs for fear the wild man might grab them and carry them into the sea, end quote. So.
But he's afraid of people.
He's he flees at the sight of you, but just in case, you better walk around with a club and a hatchet to protect yourself from this guy before he takes you into the water. Here's what is immediately notable about this. Have you, when you hear the word merman, what do you think?
Nothing.
You think a long tail, like a mermaid. You think a fish-like appendage of some sort. There's nothing about that at all. This is very much, this is a man.
Yeah, they said he can walk.
Got some hair, and he goes into the water. And the reason we think of him as a merman is because he apparently can breathe in water because he never comes back out of the water.
Right.
Who also looks like that, Carrie? Aquaman. This is Aquaman, Carrie. This is 1885 Aquaman. Obviously, they live longer in Atlantis than, you know, our lifetimes.
Yeah.
So, quote, women and children keep close indoors, and a reign of terror of this submarine hairy man has shaken New York's favorite watering places.
Reign of terror that he exists.
Carrie, he's scaring people. He's making them walk around with hatches and clubs, okay? Even though when you see him, he flees into the water.
Yes.
Quote.
People are dumb.
People are also afraid to shoot him for fear they might possibly be indicted for killing a harmless lunatic. Which, you know what?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so I'm glad that no one shot him.
Yeah.
The writer says, I should not be surprised when he is caught to find that it was another ingenious device of that aquatic blatherskite, Captain Paul Boyton, to advertise his life-saving suit. If it is not Boyton, it is the... And there the goddamn article ends. I have no idea. Is at the end of the article that the source, I just not... You know, write out the whole part of it.
Yeah.
Who's the other suspect?
Yeah.
Who's Paul Boynton? What is his...
Did you look him up?
What the hell is a blatherskite?
Yeah.
What is his life-saving suit? All these things we need to know. If I was that article, I would not have looked it up. I'd end the podcast right now, but I'm not an asshole.
Okay, good.
So I did learn a little bit about Captain Paul Boynton. Actually, it was in the same article. And he was someone who was known as the, quote, fearless frogman. So the word frogman, that's interesting. You think frogman was early skin divers.
Yeah.
They were called frogman. But this word is around at least in 1885, but not before, as was blatherskite, which is just someone who talks shit.
Well, people weren't diving back in...
1885? With the hoses, you mean? And the big brass plates and masks and shit like that?
They must have been.
1885.
I'll bet you they were.
I don't I don't know.
But they weren't called frogmen.
Maybe. Or maybe he's just, you know, maybe. Because why? Because this person, unlike the dude in the air in 1880, who had the improved frog legs and was kicking like a frog, this person doesn't bear any resemblance to a frog at all. They didn't say anything about frog legs or frog color. So why are they calling him frogmen? Maybe they did. Yeah. Maybe Divey's word called frogmen already. I don't know.
It must have been.
He was, Captain Paul Boynton was an adventurer and
a
showman.
Sorry, you defined blatherskite.
Oh, blatherskite.
Oh, skite.
Was just someone who talked nonsense.
Okay.
Would babble on and bullshit.
Yep.
A bullshitter.
I'm going to start using that.
Blatherskite. Oh, you're such a blatherskite. God, did you see that blatherskite Trump the other day at the rally? We need to bring her back just for Trump.
No, it's too cute for him.
Yeah. Fascist dictator, isn't that? Okay. So, hi all our conservative listeners.
We don't have any.
We have three. Well, we did have three until I just said that.
No, they hate listen, just so they can leave those bad reviews.
You're right. Okay. So, Captain Paul Boynton was this showman and adventurer, according to this source. And he popularized water sports and hobby swimming, particularly what they called open water swimming, which I guess is just swimming out in the ocean.
Yeah.
Again, which was very uncommon and would stay uncommon for quite some time after this. But
because it's scary.
It was starting to happen. Well, no one thought about sharks. I will swear to God, those horrific shark attacks of 1916 off at Atlantic City about that, but people could not get their minds around that it was a shark at first, even though it could not have been more obvious that it was a shark.
Yeah.
So people really weren't afraid of them. People thought, experts thought sharks were afraid of people.
Really?
In the early 20th century. Yeah. It's nuts.
Well, because we are a little bit self-centered.
Yeah, but they knew what great white sharks were, and they knew how big they were, and they knew the things they ate.
No, I'm not necessarily afraid. It's not just sharks that I'm afraid of.
Afraid of drowning?
I'm afraid of everything.
Because you don't know what's afraid of everything, except for flying.
Because you can't see it.
Yeah.
No, because when I'm up in the air, I can see everything.
So if you were up in the air flying, and someone put their hands over your eyes, would you be you'd be terrified, wouldn't you?
Well, sure.
I feel like you would.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, I feel like
you need to see what you're doing and where you're going.
There you go. Okay, that's why. So he also had done some stunts like crossing the English Channel in a, quote, novel rubber suit that functioned similarly to a kayak, end quote. I don't know what that means.
So not like a wetsuit. I was thinking
it was made of rubber. I imagine it had air for buoyancy, I guess. How it acts like a kayak, I don't know. Was
I
it
don't
a blow-up blow-up kayak?
Yeah.
I have no idea. This source doesn't explain what the hell they meant.
It sounds very innovative.
It does. It didn't catch on, though.
Clearly.
Apparently, because we've never heard of it. I guess right before this story was published, Boynton was involved in a horrible incident. He had apparently potentially encouraged, or at least he was in the entourage, of a man named Robert Emmett Odlum, who was a young man who tried to leap from the Brooklyn Bridge. People did a lot of daredevil stuff back then. And so this person, Robert Odlum, leapt from the Brooklyn Bridge and died.
Yeah.
His sister was a very well-known women's rights advocate named Charlotte Odlum Smith. Their mother, Catherine Odlum, was furious. She blamed Boynton for basically killing her son. And so she started talking about this and kind of went after him, wrote letters and things like that. And at some point, and he denied anything. He said, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't encourage them all to jump off the bridge. She went to New York to meet with him. Instead of showing up himself, he sent two men to basically badger her and threaten her. One was a judge, one was a lawyer, according to her anyway. And they basically said, if you say anything about him, we'll sue you, we'll ruin you, get your ass back to wherever you lived. And she would then later write a biography, and she would explicitly say that there were letters that existed that Boynton had destroyed, and letters and telegrams of him explicitly encouraging Robert Odlum to travel to New York and jump off the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh.
So, because he was into, again, all these water-based stunts and daredevil things like that.
That's
and
not
so,
a good thing
no.
to do.
So, my speculation is that the writer of this was just doing something nuts, wrote a crazy story in order, just kind of like the flying man from 1880, to poke fun and ridicule and get at a person who had done, in this case, a really shitty thing, but you didn't want to get sued, by Boynton's lawyers. So you just made fun of him and ridiculed him. And, you know, you got a little justice that way. That's what I think this was happening here. So this actually, the story of the merman of Coney Island is actually quite similar to the story of the flying frogman of Coney Island. So we have three monsters of Coney Island in this episode. One was clearly a skate, just wrapped up in fishing line. Scared the shit out of that guy and his mom.
Yeah.
But the other one was a clearly made-up joke story to get at a maybe, you know, corrupt preacher. And the third one was also a made-up story to apparently get at a daredevil who had done a really shitty thing. So those are our Coney Island monsters. None of them, it turns out, were real.
Or monsters.
Or were they? Because have you ever seen the Coney Island Monster and Aquaman in the same room at the same party? I, for one, have not. I still hold out hope that the Coney Island Merman was, in fact,
Aquaman?
A hairy Aquaman. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're buying my Aquaman theory.
No.
Wow.
I'm not.
Oh, that makes me sad. Okay. But you think you can fly. Okay. So you think you can fly, but you don't believe that Aquaman maybe was disporting himself around Coney Island in the 1880s, and when people saw him, he swam back into the water. It was not his fault people got scared and walked around with hatchets.
That's
and that there's a reign of terror. He obviously never molested or accosted anyone. He just minded, he just was hanging out in the water, probably wanted to go on some of the rides, but then people would look at him weird.
Yeah.
He would get back into the water before something bad happened. That's what I think happened in 1885.
Yeah, and he's, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. If you agree with me and disagree with Carrie, and also, or if you agree with Carrie that she can fly and disagree with me, please tell us. We'd love to hear from you.
I will bet a lot of people have the same experience that I do.
Probably so. Well, you did that once in one of your stories. You did like dream interpretation thing. What was flying? I forget. Like freedom or something like that? I can't remember.
I think
the whole interpretation of dreams, which is probably bullshit.
Freedom like after like maybe a big graduation, life milestones.
Sure. Why not?
Maybe... Was it like getting out of it, bad relationships too, stuff like that?
Or you really can fly just like the guy in Coney Island in 1880. I choose B. You both can fly. I mean, you need to harness your power, Care.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that's the story of the Coney Island monsters, plural. We hope you enjoyed them.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time.